Welcome back. Great to have your company on Summer Breakfast. Having a bit of fun on a Thursday morning. Sam Edmund and Josh Jenkins in the flesh. He's out. He's been released and he's in the SEN bunker. Great to have him here. As it is to have this man on the line, all thanks to Hume Tennis in Melbourne's North. It is a mini Melbourne park and it's currently hosting two international wheelchair tournaments featuring none other than Dylan Alcott and the world's best wheelchair player. So get yourself down there and get inspired. Host of the First Serve, leading tennis commentator, and we're hoping big reserves of staying power and endurance because he's going to need them. Brett Phillips is here. Welcome, BP.
Sam, good morning. And I'm glad you mentioned Hume because Dylan Alcott had a great win. Let's start on a positive. Dylan was magnificent yesterday, winning another trophy, the Victorian Wheelchair Open. So the Melbourne Wheelchair event will be next week and then Dylan's farewell at the Australian Open. So he's going to be a busy boy collecting trophies over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and love him in commentary too. I think he's got obviously
a good, big future,
huge future behind the mic. Yep. Novak Djokovic. It's got to the point now, BP, where we're watching animals and magpies, eat foods, whether he should or shouldn't play Octopus World Cup style. This is what we're getting to here. So, can we be put out of our misery today? Do you think? I know timelines are dangerous, but the draw's out at 3 o'clock.
I feel like we're probably going to hear something, Sam. I would think, not that the government's going on anything else with their own timeline, but I think, certainly they would have an understanding that, would be a little bit of a farce if they're going to carry this over beyond the draw. And, Djokovic has pulled out of the hat today and who his opponent's going to be for round one. I have to say, with the stuff that has come out yesterday, I'd probably change my own personal tune on this. I mean, go back 24 hours, if they do revoke the visa again, it mightn't be a great PR exercise for the government who are already facing enough heat. But, it doesn't look good for Novak. And the fact that the Serbian Prime Minister has got involved now, and the Serbian rules are pretty tough. They're tougher than Australia over there to get into the country. And then, if you're not isolating when you test positive, we know that that can lead to a possible imprisonment. There's the worst extreme over in Serbia. So, I think it sets a dangerous precedent. Anyway, we'll see how it plays out today.
I couldn't agree with you more either. I don't know who's advising him, if anyone's advising him, but that statement yesterday that he sought to clear up a few things only made it worse, Josh.
Yeah, it certainly did. BP, what's well-connected? We heard some reports about a bit of a frosty reception amongst some of the other players. What is the general feeling in tennis circles about Novak and what he's, not that he's tarnishing the Australian Open, but all the stuff going on in the periphery, the fact that he's taken over, I guess the Australia's month of glory in the tennis circles. What's the general feeling towards him and what's happening?
Well, I think the players are probably just sick of being asked about Novak, because that is the question. All the journos want to get their opinion on the Novak situation, so they'd rather just focus on their game and their build-up. So I think they're probably a little bit peeved at that. But, I mean, if you look at just his relationship on tour, I mean, he is a huge advocate of more money being distributed to the players lower down. He and Bartek Kosmason, the Canadian, set up this breakaway PTPA to challenge the ATP and their player council to get a better representation of more money, less money for the tournaments, more money for the players. Now, that is still very much in its infancy. So he has a lot of support across the men's tour, the women's tour on that. And that is quite authentic from Djokovic. But, he just divides people everywhere. But I think certainly just from an Australian Open perspective, there's players that... Yeah, I think certainly from the whole vaccination process that they've had to go through, because it's jumped from 50% to nearly 100% since the US Open, and some within that lot have been reluctant, but have felt this is just going to be easier. So I think there's some who have gone a little frosty there that, the continued vaccination stance has probably worn on them a little bit.
Hey, BP, moving on. Tanasi Kokkinakis, I mean, so many of us have been hoping and waiting, for a change of luck and for him to sort of fulfil his potential. Geez, he's come back with a vengeance. He survived a triple tiebreak cliffhanger yesterday. He got the better of John Isner to set up that All-Australian quarterfinal against Alex Vukic at the Adelaide International. This is a big scalp from Tanasi.
Yeah, look, it's a good scalp. Even though he's 36 now, John, he's just a formidable force. You know, I watched him up close at the ATP Cup last week. When he's serving, Sam, you're doing a lot of just walking from side to side because you're not getting a lot of returns, and somehow you've just got to continue to hold your service games, which Thanasi can do because he's got a decent serve. And then once some ground battles started in that match, he was always going to work his Narova and just put some balls into difficult areas for a guy at 6'10 who doesn't appreciate anything out of the hitting zone. So I think strategically, Thanasi was very good in the crunch of that match. And yeah, great to see him playing Alexander Vukic. Not many people would know about Vukic because he went down the college pathway over in the States, came onto the tour later. He's not had the leg up that Thanasi has with support from, you know, Tennis Australia, etc. So he's had to do a little bit harder, but he's a really good guy, solid pro, and either or, we're going to have an Aussie in the semis over in Adelaide, which would be great. So Thanasi, yeah, a lot of upside at the moment.
Finished a little bit too late for us, those of us who get up at 4 a.m, but Andy Murray was able to beat the Georgian just a little past midnight last night. So good to see Andy Murray in form heading into the Oz Open.
It was typical Murray, Josh. I mean, he lost the first set tiebreaker and he dug in. He just doesn't know how to play any other way. And that's what we love about Andy. He's just a fantastic competitor and the body felt pretty good after the match last night. So he when the draw comes out today, he's, yeah, that floater that you don't want to play because he brings all the experience. He brings the nous. He knows how to play a tennis match, obviously. Not as physically good as the younger generation, 10 years younger, who maybe are moving a little quicker, but he's got the smarts still. So I'd love to see Andy have another Aussie Open run.
How does the I'm interested in the day, the back-to-back games in preparation versus the day-on, day-off performance. How does that affect the body differently when Andy Murray's played late last night, plays again today at 1:30 p.m. So it's a quick backup versus what that might feel like. Because sometimes, remember, in footy, you don't feel the soreness the very next day, but you feel it the second day afterwards. So what's that like for a tennis player, particularly through the ankles and joints where you're on the hard court surface?
Yeah, look, they're used to it because that's the way the tour events work. They're condensed into that week and you've got to play five matches to win a tournament. So they're used to that sort of format, having to back up pretty well. Look, they're pretty well conditioned. But for Murray, yeah, he would have spent, I reckon, a lot of time post-match last night on the massage table. And he probably won't hit a tennis ball apart from a light hit up today. But yeah, best of three, obviously different scenario, best of five in the Grand Slam. So that makes it a little easier, but still, I mean, some three-set matches can go longer than a five-set match. So, yeah, but I mean, he's a well-conditioned athlete.
So the draw for the first Grand Slam of the year, BP, 3 o'clock today, Eastern time.
It is, and then we'll start to analyse and pick it apart, Sam, and try and look ahead. I remember when I was a Fitzroy supporter, you'd see the fixture come out, and you go, "Yeah, we can win that." So that's what we'll do, probably with Ash today in particular, because she's our one huge hope. We'll start to look at what her first week in particular looks like, because you just want to get through that first week of the majors. And then for our men, I mean, we can just only hope for some kind draws that they can maybe get through a couple of rounds, but they might draw some of the absolute big names as well.
And we know we're repeating ourselves, but it could be a telling day for the world's best player, Novak Djokovic. Duna's just texted in before we let you go, BP. Duna says, BP loves his game, always offers balanced and articulate views. So to hear him say his thoughts have changed is enough for me. And you certainly wouldn't be on your own with that after the events of yesterday. Go well, BP. Good luck with it, mate. Pace yourself and we'll speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you, lads. Thank you.
Thanks to Yarra Tennis. Brett Phillips there, coaching at Eaglemont Tennis Club with junior and adult programs available. Check out yarratennis.com.au.